The federal government no longer fears we the people. The political elites in Washington assume that they have all the power. The power to control what you think, what you should believe, and how you should act. With few exceptions, the mainstream media no longer reports the facts. They simply spread the propaganda provided to them by those that wish to withhold the truth from the people. It's time for our voices to be heard. It's time to hold them accountable. Welcome to The Washington Effect. I'm your host, Murray Edwards. On this episode, The Leftover Effects, I want to welcome back Janet Rich Pittman to the show. You may remember, Janet joined me on an earlier episode where we discussed the effects of dementia and the potential side effects that might occur from the onslaught efforts that the government and its media outlets made to push and enforce unwarranted vaccine mandates on the people of our country. Welcome back, Janet. It's nice to have you back on the show.
Murray, it's so good to be back with you and be back with your listeners. And I just really enjoy conversing with you and getting the word out and spreading the news. And so thank you again for having me. And, you know, we have to go back to my background is a dementia healthcare administrator. I have been over 3 dementia lockdown facilities and, you know, assisted living with dementia. And I just couldn't understand everybody dying so rapidly and quickly and fast. And they would go from independent living and then a year later, they're gone. You know, why? What's going on? So I got into researching age. It took me a couple of years, and long story short, I just said, this is a waiting room. I've got to get out. There are ways out. There are cures and ways that these individuals can do, and their caregivers can help them, and they can reverse their dementia. And so I found a doctor, Dr. Dale Bredesen, and I operate under his protocol. And he has, the first doctor to scientifically reverse dementia, Alzheimer's in particularly, also leaning into Parkinson's and frontal temporal dementia and other types of dementia. And that's the issue. What is dementia, right? Dementia is the death of brain cells. And the death of brain cells that causes intellectual incapacity. So you're not able to do things like reasoning, and it's not memory. Yes, absolutely it is memory, but everybody forgets, right? It's when you can't remember faces versus names. It's when you physically cannot make significant reasons. You can't make good decisions. You don't understand how the world works. And you become very slow, very lethargic. And what happens is, again, Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. There are many different dementia diseases. Parkinson's is one, frontal temporal dementia is one, multiple sclerosis is one, AIDS is one.
I did not know multiple sclerosis was a form of dementia.
Yes. I mean, any disease that causes your brain cells to die is dementia. It's a dementia disease, right? Alzheimer's is the majority of the dementia diseases. All right. So I just couldn't understand, again, why people were 104 years old. You know, Roger Gentilholm, and he's 104 years old. He's winning the tennis championship for the Senior Olympics. And Mr. Smith at 77, one of my residents, is one of my patients, you know, can't feed himself or get himself out of bed or walk or do any of his activities, ADLs. We call these activities of daily living. Why he couldn't do his ADLs. And so I just went to, again, hit the research, and that's how I found realized that aging is a disease. It can be a disease. A disease can cause you to age. And so age more prolifically. And so Dr. Bredesen is the first MD, PhD, to, under scientific study, clear medical clinical trials, reverse dementia. And he's done it in 3 studies. He's well proven. He has 3 different books. He's working on the 4th. And there are studies after studies after studies which show how dementia can be reversed. And the deal is, what causes dementia? All right, dementia is the death of brain cells. Well, what causes your brain cells to die? Right. And they're basically 6 types of ways to make your brain cells die. Inflammation and atrophic factor. We're not getting nutrients up to the brain, and a combination of those two, which is called glycotoxicity. You're inflamed and you're not getting nutrients in. So both of those are glycotoxicity. And then trauma is an issue. Vascular dementia, people having strokes, and toxins. There's something abnormal in your body that your body can't flush out and get rid of. And basically, really, of those six components, right, basically there are three ways that we injure the brain and we cause dementia in the brain. And basically, actually really, I guess two. We hit the brain. We're going to hit the brain with trauma or high childhood experience, which causes PTSD, or PTSD from our war efforts that we've been conglomerated with. Or a blood clot, like a blood clot explodes. When that explosion happens in your brain, which causes a stroke, right? That's hitting your brain. All right. And then the next thing that is it's called the elbow disease. I was networking the other day, and a lady who owns an IV infusion clinic, she said, "Oh, it's the elbow disease." Like, elbow? I don't know this. She's like, "Yeah, that's what you put in your mouth. You know, you bend your elbow to put your mouth, and or really what you breathe in." So that's what injures our brain. What we put in our bodies, or that physicalness that we hit with, if we hit our brain somehow. And all these six components, really three basically, they make our glia cells pull away from our neurons. And then our synapse cells, which connect the neurons, they wither and wither away, shrink and wither away. And then our neurons are just sitting there and they can't connect. So they just kind of slowly die. And that's what causes dementia. When your brain cells are dead, or they are so asleep, they're not waking up. And so
you hit something there when you were going through symptoms. And this is what's going to lead into more conversations in the show today.
Right.
Toxins in the body. Yeah. Now, when you start talking about toxins in the body, I mean, that could be things that you eat, things that you drink, and things along those lines. Right. But it could also be something that was amazingly injected into a lot of people's bodies over the last 2 or 3 years.
That's and exactly
right. When we discussed earlier that, you know, nobody's really ever told the American people what they're getting jabbed with. You know, it's, as I said in the earlier show, some type of genetic alteration that they put in, and it's supposed to flush out, you know, after 48 hours or 60 hours or whatever the deadline might be. But that is a toxin, and that That's is right. something that your body was really not prepared for. It was never studied. It was put out within, 3 or 4 months after they created the shot. Different manufacturers, as you had indicated in the show earlier, that each manufacturer sort of was doing it a different way, and nobody really knew what was in, you know, this particular shot. You get it from this particular pharmaceutical company, what was in their shot. And it seems to me that the folks who have subjected their bodies to the shot, now I'll be the first one to admit, I never got the shot, never got a booster shot. Don't care if a person wanted to get it, you never heard me say a word about it. But there's people who have now injected things into their body that I think is going to affect the mind. It's going to affect the body. And when you start talking about some of the things that we talked about earlier, about what was part of the things that were in this particular shot, it should make anybody and everybody, I guess, a little nervous as to, okay, I keep being told that I got to get this, I got to get another booster shot, but we still don't know exactly right. what's in the shot. No one has said anything what was in That's the right. shot. So sort of expand on that a little bit for me, please, ma'am.
I'll be glad to. And that's how I got involved was this fear came upon us. Oh, it's COVID. It's going to kill you. Well, we don't want to have to, I don't want to go into the, how we all got the shot, but we all got the shot. Not all of us, but you know, a vast majority of the people around the world. Okay. It's not a United States issue. This is a global issue. We got the shot. And what actually is in the shot and the boosters? All right. They're basically two consistencies that we found. And that is a hydrogel, which is a fat encased something. Hydrogel, it's the hydrogen and gel, and it's a liquid fat, so to speak. And then graphene hydroxide, which actually comes from graphene oxide, and that once it's injected, it turns into graphene hydroxide. And so again, we've never had an official list of the ingredients, but in the last, since we've talked last, and I've told you those two things are the consistency, but what does that hydrogel encompass except for the graphene oxide? What else is in there? And so I've had a doctor I follow, Dr. Anna Maria Mihalcea. She is from Romania. She works here, has her medical practice here in the United States, and she's done a phenomenal amount of research, and she helps put the dots together and put all everything together. And she put out on her Substack that there's an independent testing of 26 items, worldwide independent testing that have come together, and this is what's in there. It's an RNA sequence from some vials, a DNA and protein impurities that's detected in mass quantities. The third is different heavy metals and rare metals of unknown origin and unknown purpose. Why the heck are they in there? Let me give you some of these metals that are in there. Caesium, barium, cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, cerium, gadolinium, aluminum, silicon, sulfur, thulium, antimony. Who knows some of these words? I mean, these are new on the periodic table.
Sound like you're trying to build a battery.
Okay.
You know, and you said graphite. Isn't graphite made from carbon?
That's exactly right.
And don't the environmentalists, aren't they going a little nuts about carbon?
You
know,
right.
So guess what? We'll just wrap it up in a piece of silicon. We'll get rid of some carbon. We'll just inject it to people.
Right. Wrap it up, encompass it with a gel so we can get it into your body with fat. Okay. Now, I'll only give you three items that were in there. There are three more types of items that are in there. This is funny. They say large structures such as blobs, particles, crystals, flat square shapes, fibers, ribbons, assembly and movement visible immediately from a frozen state, different forms of graphene, and leftover magnetic beads. And I kind of remember seeing some things on social media about how magnets would be sticking to people. I kind of remember that. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that or not.
They were talking about, and this was all the conspiracy theorist things that were being shut down, that magnets or metal was actually being injected into your body. And now whether there was any truth to it, you know, people say, well, you can put a magnet to your arm or whatnot, and you'll feel it. I don't know anything about that. But when you start injecting metals into your bloodstream, I wouldn't think that would be really good for you.
Absolutely. So of those items, now, again, there's no consistencies except whatever's in there with the graphene oxide. Whatever's in with the graphene oxide is encompassed with this hydrogel, this component cover of fat. All right, so we get it. So people stick it into their bodies, not once, not twice, sometimes up to 4 and 6 times. All right, and so, well, what happens? What happens when you get that much in your body? And we talked about last episode about Dr. Richard Hill from Australia. And then we had some other, Richard Hall from Australia. And that's found on Rich Planet TV. And he's from Australia. Then there's another doctor from France. And they both took all the different gels, all the different vaccines they could find. And they in vitro'd and they laid them out. And they put a camera on them, right? And they fast forwarded it and watched it, and it's self-assembling. This hydrogel is self-assembling. And so we talked about that last episode. And so what I've come upon now is actually how these self-assembling particles are for the ultimate control of your memory and your brain action. Now, let me deepen into that a little bit. I read this article and this study, and I go back. It's basically from Dr. Hildegard Steininger, and she presented this at the annual War Council of the National Solutions Foundation. And her talk was derailing the genocidal agenda. But anyway, she talks about how she found a number of non-cancerous brain tumors. And before we go into her, let's kind of go back. Let me backtrack just a minute, if you'll excuse me. And we talked about how the only thing consistent that we found in the shot is the graphene oxide encased in the hydrogel. All right. So when you get that item into your body, it's going to go and find, you know, like wants to be around like, you know, that's just human nature. And that's just the way the universe kind of works. So it's fat enclosed. It's going to go, it's going to travel once it gets in your blood. It's going to travel to where there's the most fat sections of your body. And that, number one, your brain has the most fat of any component on your body. It's made of 60% fat, your brain is. All right. And then your heart and your encompassment, your lining of your heart is fat. And then the next organ that has the most fat are your testes or your ovaries. And then it's going to go to your adrenal glands, which are on the top of your kidneys that help cultivate energy. And then the last, basically, one fat-contained organ that we have are our intestines, the lining of our intestines. All right, so this shot is going to go to one of these organs, or it's going to go to all of them, and it's going to slowly degrade your immune system. And so, like you said earlier, we mentioned it earlier together, we've got these toxins in our body, and they're going to go wherever we've got the most fat, and they're going to start degrading our immunity. And not only are they going to degrade, things are going to start happening. Like, we've been seeing cancer just shoot through the roof. Problems with childbearing issues, problems with conceiving. All these heart attacks we're having and strokes we're having. Just like your friend had a horrible stroke. So it's just an issue of degrading of our fatty organs. Now, going back to Dr. Straniger, Hildegard Straniger, she talks about how basically what's really happening is in this study, she did this complete study, brain study, and she found all these non-cancerous brain tumors, non-cancerous. She couldn't understand what's in them, what's going on. And really what it turns out is they are called mesogens. These are liquid crystal mesogens. And this is an advanced nanomaterial, and it's a brain chip sensor for a brain computer interface, And it's not only found in brains, but she also found it in nasal passages of some individuals. The majority of it were in the brain, she found, but others in the nasal passages. And so then, I want to keep reading in her study. She says that mesogenic, it refers to a being in a host. It's a parasite that infects a host, and it is incapable of taking over. I mean, it is capable of taking over. So in other words, the host-parasite relationship evolves where the parasite dominates the host. And it's because of the liquid crystal phase that we have this hydrogel in. And she goes down and she talks about other nano architectural is designed for smart functions so that we can target organs of your design choice. Organs, brain, heart, reproductive organs. It's just incredible. And she talks about how this mesogenic payload of the crystals can be unreactive until triggered into activation for their ultimate purpose.
That sort of takes you down a whole lot of different paths.
All right, here's what she said.
Sorry, thinking about that.
Yes, right. Here's what she says. She says this is the new nano medicine. She says we can interact with smart Wi-Fi communication systems. It can be used as a weapon, as an industrial espionage device, or a component for mind-body control. I mean, oh my gosh. It's hard. It's just so hard to comprehend that this is actually happening. And this is in our bodies and this is in our brains. And I guess we kind of see this, right? Because everybody's having the heart attacks. Everybody's having the brain tumors and the cancer taking off. It comes to, well, why does this happen to some people but not to others? And it just really makes you want to stop and think, why is this going on? And she talks about how, let me quote this. We have a brain with interfaces with computers through transitional and piezoelectric metallic materials. And these materials can be in the form of a gel, a tube, a claw, a hook, a fiber, or even a wire. But they all exist under the penumbra or the name nano. And these nanowires are now, I'm quoting here. Okay, these nanowires are now being used in brain chips for human brain so a person can read the thoughts of another or transfer his thoughts. It's just...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Started talking about that with the onslaught now of artificial intelligence, or as our vice president says, it's only it's two letters, IA. But we're getting into a situation there, to me, it seems like maybe they're looking at some form of fashion, and I'm probably going off the deep end when I say this, so some of the folks don't, I'm not going crazy, folks, I'm just thinking out loud, that it's going to be human programming. That if it's to that extent, and we're talking nanotechnologies. I have a tech background, so I know all about microchips and things like that. They're not to the point to where they don't have to inject microchips anymore. If they're injecting something that's got a nanotechnology to it, and when it gets into your body, as you said, we don't know exactly where it's going to go. It could go to the brain, go to your stomach, go to your heart. There could be some devious things done folks who don't have a lot of people's good intent at heart.
That's exactly right. She finishes here. She says that these nanowires, tubes, or other similar materials can function as sensors, transducers, actuators, and other related devices that are utilized in neurological mechanical device application or internal biological monitoring systems. And I'll give you the URL on this report and people can go and look at it. I mean, how could I make up these kind of words, you know? But here's what kind of set me off. Because, okay, so we've got this, many people have this system in their brains, all right? And it has the opportunity to activate, you know, to be reactive to something. We don't know. And she says that in the activation and design of the functional strength and or size, the references could be pH, your pH levels, electronic frequency, and the frequency, different types of frequency, that these all play a vital role in the nanomaterial building. So that says to me, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to detox. I'm going to get this stuff out of my brain and I'm not going to let it function. And I think we could go on and on and on about what's going on and what's doing. And, sure. And we can talk about the fluorine and the chlorine and the bromine, the iodine. We can talk about all these halogens she says are in there too. But basically what she's telling us is, and this is what you call smart biotechnology, right? It's like half mechanical and half chemical, biological chemicals, right? And so even though we have all this, and it's proven, okay, we've got these studies that tell us we've got metals in our brain, these graphene, hydroxide, and all these other chemicals are in our brain. Well, let's get them out and let's detox. And I think...
You used the term detox. How is a person going to be in a situation where they can detox that stuff out of their body?
Well, that's right. So that's why you got to kind of have a very open mind here, and you've got to have the want to understand more, not only of what's happening of this situation, but also an understanding of you and your body. And really, there are basically two ways to detox. There is purification and detoxification, right? We want to get, we're going to purify our relationship with God and then detox. We've got to work out these chemicals and dissolve these chemicals. And what the key that she said was, quote unquote, it's design from, the activation design and the strength and size are all dependent on pH balance and the electronic magnetic frequency and the frequency types. So that tells me pH balance. Well, why are we all fat? Why are we all chronically ill? Because we're not eating the right foods. We don't have the right pH balance in our bodies. And if you think I'm crazy, get your fanny over to the drugstore and buy you some pH strips and pee on it. And that'll tell you how way off you are if you're super alkaline. And that's what super acidic. And most people are super acidic. We've got to get back in balance. We've got to get our bodies back in balance. We've got to get our brain back in balance. We've got to get this stuff out of us. And so you can do that through a myriad of activities. Diet is absolute one of them. Good sleep. The ability to physically exercise and to stimulate your brain stimulation, brain exercises. Depending on your level of health, we need to get all, if people who are on 21:8 to 21:10 medicines a day or you know, eight in the morning and two at noon and five at night, you know, is that really helping you? Is that really, or is that a toxin that's degrading your body? You know, COVID of all things has told us that it's not the doctor's fault, but we've truly been lied to. We've truly been lied to. And so, you know, what entity in their right medical mind, in their right moral mind, is going to have the ability to say, oh, just take that shot, you'll be fine. It's nothing. It's great. We all need it. We need electronic components in our brain? What?
Well, I mean, we get, you know, that was part of, you know, the initial episode was what the federal government and the media did successfully was explain things in a way that they were able to, and I'll just use the term, brainwash. They did. I know people still to this day that, well, the government told me I needed to do this, and whatever media outlet they were listening to told them that I've got to do this, and if I don't, then I'm a bad person. I'm a hypocrite, or however, whatever term you want to use on it, but it's still going on today. If you haven't gotten a shot, I happen to be listening to a little bit of one of the hearings this morning before the we recorded the show, and I was stunned at how one particular side of the aisle was attacking a gentleman who was basically just pointing out obvious facts that what people were being told was not true. So you've got one side of the aisle who is determined that the average person does not know what they're doing. And we, as the government, you must listen to us, or you must listen to our minions, which is the media, and their other talking heads, because it was obvious in that particular hearing that they have no desire to hear what this other individual was saying. And all he was doing was speaking honest facts. And what we have to do is to at least give people the options to wake up, to educate themselves, to inform themselves. They may not agree. I don't agree with a lot of things that people tell me, but I will go do my research. If I have any kind of questions, I'll at least go do a little bit of research and says, you know, well, Janet, that makes sense. I might want to do that of just staring at something or just reading something and refusing to open your mind up to the fact that not everybody's being honest with you. They want the situation to where you will be beholden to them. I think we're in a situation now to where we're a divided country. And we have to be in a situation to where folks like yourself can come on and say, you know, here's what I have found. My research is telling me this, and at least be able to get that word out to people and let them, again, do their own research to make up their own minds. That's not happening right now.
That's right. And that's the first thing, is to have an open mind, right? Take all the caps off. You know, anything is possible. Have an open mind and then believe in yourself that you can, you know, have the confidence to succeed your own self. Not count on the government, not count on the doctor down your general practitioner. Use everybody you can for help, right? But don't rely only on yourself and your knowledge and be responsible for yourself and responsible for your health. I mean, you know, when you eat that bag of Doritos, you don't need to be eating that bag of Doritos.
Oh, tell me.
No, well, you know, it's serious. I mean, you know, that it's big. I read an article, and I'm sorry, I can't quote it now, but I can later, in regard to, they are putting, in my state, they've not done beef yet, but they have put a hydrogel in pork and in chicken, not in beef. That's my understanding from the Cattlemen's Association. But this hydrogel, I mean, okay, why? So as a consequence, and I researched it, right, and I figured out it's not in cattle. Well, so I go and buy a quarter of a beef. You see, I mean, these are ways that you can operate to counter it, to take responsibility. And the first thing I want to say to Murray is, you know, if you listener there has gotten the shot, don't dog yourself. I mean, don't degrade yourself. Just accept it and let's go forward. Yes, it's a slap in the face, but we've got to wake up and we've got to take action. I mean, this is your life. Our lives are at stake here. Absolutely. And so, you know, again, the number one action is going back to the study. The main activation, right, is the pH balance and the frequency. So we can take control of our pH balance. We can better, and we all know we're not eating right. We all know something's wrong. Our A1C is high. Our sugar is high. We got to get rid of the sugar. We've got to get our body in balance. All right. That's number one. And your brain needs to be in balance. I mean, that all of my patients and my participants that I help reverse dementia, the first thing we do is go low carb, and we work on a keto diet. And I can certainly, you know, help and talk about that if I need to in the future. But that's basically, we've got to get low carb, get the sugar out of us and degrade the acid and get back to a good balance of acid and pH. And then the next thing is frequency. So I'm really concerned about all these 5G towers that are popping up. I had a doctor the other day, I was listening to her podcast, and she says, look, 6G is going to fry our DNA. We cannot accept 6G. And then I look on the TV and it's got one of the cell carriers, and they say, oh, it's the 10G. I'm like, what? 10G? I was like, what? And he finally had to, see, it's all confusion, right? So I went directly to them, to my representative or the representative of that company, and I called him, and he said, oh no, that's 10 generation. That's not 10G. Well, I didn't know. Nobody else knows. We've got to stay alert, right? We've got to be on our tiptoes about all this. So frequency is an issue, and I'm really concerned about that, Murray. And I want to express this concern to your listeners and see if there's something people can do about it. Who said it was okay to put up 5G towers? We're working great in 4G. Why do we need 5G? 5G is to connect our brain and the computers together. It's to connect the Internet of Things to the Internet of your thoughts. We don't need an Internet of Thoughts.
You get back to the point of control and power. You know, how long 5G's been in the process, I think just about everywhere now, when you see a map of a carrier, they've got 5G everywhere. Now, I've got an old generation phone. It's not going to accept 5G until it burns up. It'll stay a 4G telephone, unless the carriers themselves decided, well, your phone's too old, so therefore it's not going to work anymore, so you must trade it in for a new phone. Perfectly content with my 3 or 4 year old telephone. But you would hate to think, but you have to think sometimes, that with some of the things that are going on, it's all been planned. It's all been, they're working on something that, you know, we as folks who try to do the right thing, we're not going to have any control over the situation unless we stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But we're at a crossroads. I mean, we're at a situation now to where I mentioned artificial intelligence. That particular piece of the pie has come on like a banshee over the last 6 months. It's just amazing. TV shows showing 5G robots that people, you know, walking up and down, and some of the things that these machines are going to be able to do. I typed in a word the other day just to play around with one of the AI programs. Said, tell me the difference between this and this. And within a second or two, it started spitting out the results. And I mean, it's perfectly worded. You could sit there and turn around and put it in an article in a newspaper and nobody would ever know the difference. So, you know, how people are going to have to be more aware that, again, you hate to think that this is an overall plan by a bunch of different people. But when you start listening to some of these higher level folks, and people will know who I'm talking about when I talk about the World Economic Forum, and they start talking about the New World Order. You know, years ago, people would say, oh, good gosh, Murray, you're talking nonsense. That stuff's not real. Go read some of the articles that are being put out by Klaus Schwab. But go read some of the articles that are being put out by Mr. Gates. You know, from that standpoint, they want to control from everything that you buy, everything that you own, everything that you eat. I'm not going to eat a bug, and I'm not in the mood to eat processed hamburger meat or chicken. I don't care if it looks like it or not. I don't think what they put in it is really very good for you. We talk about toxins. What is going to be in this artificial meat? When you buy a steak, you got a steak. When you buy a steak that's been manufactured by some plant someplace, you have no earthly idea what's in that thing. So it can't be good for you.
Murray, you're exactly right. And you're talking about the higher ups that be. Well, let me just kind of tell you who those higher ups that be are, and who are really the instigators of this COVID issue. And I follow Dr. Lee Merritt, and she is a retired, actually COVID shut her down. She's now she has a site called themedicalrebel.com, and she has researched COVID, and it's taken her down these rabbit holes. She's just phenomenal. She is a retired medical spinal surgeon. I got her training in the military. In the Navy, actually. And then she served on the Navy board in the White House and the Pentagon on creating new feature weapons. She's no longer on that. And then she practiced spinal surgery for about, I don't know, 15 years. And then she was in private practice. And then again, COVID shut her down. But so she has gone on this knockdown, drag out, no holes barred research, and she gets on her podcast and she goes to town. And I wrote these statistics. She said, we've got, this is a war, an information war, and it's a war on many fronts, the border, transgender, children smuggling, elections, on and on. We can go down, but you and I are specifically talking about COVID. And the people who have controlled all this, she says, she did the research and she says she found Gottfelder. He is the Switzerland government contracted him and his economic company. He's an economist. And he said that he pumped all this data into supercomputer. This was in 2011. And so the statistics might be a bit off, but just a bit. Because what she says that he found is that 137 million companies encompass the economic activity of the world. 137 million companies. And he was able to funnel that down, that is owned by 147 companies. And of those 147 companies, they are owned by 10 banks, banking companies. And those 10 banking companies are funded by 4 different funds. And we know who those funds are.
I know where we're going.
BlackRock. The other ones.
You got BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and I'm blank. There is one more. The main three are BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street.
Right.
BlackRock has now come out and said, and we're getting into a little different topic. It ties into ESG a little bit, but what BlackRock has done is, because ESG now has become such a toxic word, they're not going to use that term anymore. So it's not that they're not going to abide by it. It just means that the people at BlackRock are now being told, we don't want to use the term ESG anymore because it's a political hot potato.
All right, let's circle back around and come back into COVID and the shot and and these nanoparticles, these little brain chips that are in our brains corresponding to the internet. All right, so, and who owns it and who's responsible for all this? And frequencies, you know, we're talking about pH balance and frequencies are the activating triggers. All right, so now coming back to the 4 companies, who all is responsible for this? And the 4 funds, we talked about just a minute, BlackRock and the others. Those are controlled by 150 men. Women need not apply, she says. And then basically that comes down to about their minions encompassing roughly 300 individuals. And we all have heard maybe of was it Colin Farrell who talked about the Committee of 300? There's a book about that and talks some more about that. Anyway, the point is, coming back to frequency and how 5G is what we need to connect our brain to the internet and computer systems for control. And the fact that we've got to take a stand. We've got to get rid of this 5G. We've got to let people know. We've got to have everybody understand that they've got to be awake and aware, and we've got to fight this. And it's not now. I know you're heavily involved politically, Murray, but I think at this point we've got to wake up and say this is not a Republican and a Democratic issue any longer. The corruption is so phenomenal across both party sides. It's an individual, I've got to survive issue. This is, I think what we're up against, Murray, is truly apocalyptic. All right. And what is an apocalypse? An apocalypse is an awakening. An opening of the mind. And I just feel like that's what we've got to do. We've got to take care of ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, it's to the point now that it's us against them. And the them are, as I lovingly call, the folks who sit up on top of the hills and look down into the valley. People on the top of the hill don't quite understand, well, why are the people down in the valley so mad? Because you're telling them us. Because I don't live up on top of any hill. You must abide by, you know, what we're saying and what we're doing. And if you don't, then we're going to sort of hold you accountable to it. And the way we hold you accountable to it, you might not like it in the long run.
Isn't that like a slave-master relationship?
Well, absolutely.
There's no other way to look at it. Janet, once again, thank you for joining me today, and I'm looking forward to you being on future episodes of The Washington Effect. I'll be providing Janet's contact information in the write-up of the show, and would suggest that if anyone has a question on dementia or how toxins in your mind and body could potentially affect you in the future, reach out to Janet. She'll be happy to assist. To wrap up the show today, here are a few interesting data points that you might not be aware of. As you may know, the members of the military were mandated to take the COVID-19 shot. Cases of myocarditis soared among U.S. service members in 2021 after the COVID-19 vaccines were rolled out. A top Pentagon official has confirmed that there were 275 cases of myocarditis in 2021. That's a 151% spike from the annual average from 2016 to 2020. A conservative public interest advocacy group, Defending the Republic, has obtained almost 15,000 pages of the Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine clinical data, claiming that the data showed utter lack of thoroughness of the trials and caused vaccine safety into serious doubt. A federal judge in Texas ordered the FDA to make public the data it relied on to license the COVID-19 vaccines at an accelerated rate, requiring all documents to be made public by mid-2025, rather than, as the FDA had wanted, over the course of 23 and a half years. In January of 2022, the federal judge forced the FDA to produce all data on Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for those age 16 and older at a rate of 55,000 pages per month, or faster than the 75 years the agency had sought. Currently, more than 55 million people have dementia worldwide, over 60% of them who lived in lower and middle income countries. Every year, there are nearly 10 million new cases. Dementia results in a variety of diseases and injuries that affect the brain. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, yet it may contribute to 60 to 70% of the cases. Dementia is currently the seventh leading cause of death and one of the major causes of disability and dependency among older people globally. In a recent study by the Alzheimer's Organization performed by Blue Cross Blue Shield, the number of individuals developing Alzheimer's disease has recently tripled among those aged 30 to 64. Blue Cross Blue Shield researchers found that the rates of disease increased 373% in the 30 to 44 age bracket, 311% in the 45 to 54 age bracket, and 143% in the 55 to 64 age bracket. Is this just a coincidence? It doesn't seem so. Until next time, do your research and take absolutely nothing for granted about what the government agencies and their minions try to get you to believe. This is Murray Edwards, and thank you for joining us today on The Washington Effect.